America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 81. Here's what the Lord says. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you would listen to me. Let there be no strange god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I, the Lord Yahweh, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart, to walk in their own devices. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. Those who hate the Lord would pretend obedience to him, and their time of punishment would be forever. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. Makes no sense when we go our own way, when we can go the Lord's way, and the Lord is the God who loves us, who wants to bless us, who wants the best for us. Well, Debbie and I are back from vacation. We went to Branson over the weekend, had a wonderful time. We just love Branson, Missouri, and just had fun together and just got to relax. And so now it's back to the real world and back to responsibilities. And I was thinking about, I watched not all of it, but most of President Trump's speech to the nation on Thursday night. And I was kind of mulling over what that was all about. And obviously the liberal station CNN didn't even air it. They're like, well, he lies, so we're not even going to air this. Becoming more and more like the countries that are just totalitarian while they're accusing President Trump of being a fascist and all the other Hitler and all the other negative things they like to say about him. But to make heads and tails out of what's going on in our world today, I've invited my good friend Rod Martin, founder and CEO of Martin Capital, philosopher, capitalist, Christian, and anti-communist, to weigh in today. So, Rod, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
Okay, so, Rod, I was a little surprised with what I saw on Thursday. President Trump didn't say a whole lot about the Iranian war, but he did say a lot about the stolen election in 2020, and he said the evidence shows China interfered with the elections. I don't see where that benefits him to keep going back to the 2020. I realize that that's a big deal. I mean, if we don't secure our elections, we're in serious trouble. If we don't pass the SAVE Act, I think we're in serious trouble. But why do you think he keeps continually going back to 2020?
Well, to start with, because we have an active grand jury in the Southern District of Florida investigating Kash Patel's grand conspiracy charge. We are actively trying to resurrect these cases from statute of limitations hell. You know, that was part of the reason the Biden team was there and did everything in its power to suppress evidence, to suppress what it called disinformation, which, you know, included basically anything the administration didn't want to hear. And we were getting censored on social media. We had sitting heads of state, not just Donald Trump, but others around the world, whose Twitter accounts were just taken away from them. And the left suppresses their ability to get any message out. We really, really saw that during COVID. Well, the grand conspiracy case solves a key problem. The statute of limitations is 5 years. If you don't get them prosecuted within that amount of time, they aren't getting prosecuted because you can't prosecute them. But if they were part of an ongoing conspiracy, one with another, and that continued into more recent years, well, that's a whole nother thing. So right now, as I said, we've got a grand jury that's been working on this for nearly a year. These guys have so far subpoenaed as many as 150 witnesses, among whom Jim Comey, the former FBI director, who has now been indicted under this administration two different times for two different crimes, and probably headed to at least a third under this process. So exposing this information is essential because, honestly, I don't know how the grand jury is able to do its work if they don't have the evidence, not even so much of what the Chinese did, we'll get to that in a second, but of what the American intelligence community did to actively, first, hide information from President Trump during 2020 when we already knew what the Chinese were doing. Second, what they did to suppress and destroy evidence once Biden took office. A lot of the evidence that was declassified the other night was found in burn bags that just hadn't gotten burned for one reason or another. And that's what Tulsi Gabbard found a year ago when she made her revelations on national TV also. So we're unwinding this conspiracy. Everybody's like, oh, this is taking so long. No, we took 4 years off. And during that 4 years, our government did everything it could to suppress the evidence. Now we've got a new government in part. You know, the deep staters are still running most of the agencies, but we finally have the tools to deal with that. We've got a good team in place, in at least at the highest level, and you know, Trump and his cabinet members and so forth, and we actually have a chance of getting to the bottom of this. Now, briefly on China, yes, we were told for the entire 4 years of Trump's first term that foreign election interference is the greatest danger to the history of our democracy, don't you know? Mm-hmm. And then we have absolute rock solid evidence that the Chinese were playing in the 2020 election and NBC doesn't even care. I don't know how many times I saw anchors and commentators on NBC, MSNBC, and CNBC tell us for 4 years that Donald Trump was Vladimir Putin's puppet, because if you stand on your head and drink three beers and squint, you can see how these two bits of non-evidence connect. No, when it's China and it's Biden and it's real, suddenly they go silent. And this is not, I mean, what the president gave us the other night is new. That's actually quite striking. But the truth is, we knew that at least one of the major voting machine companies was processing its data illegally in communist China during the 2020 election. The FBI knew this in 2020 and kept it from the president. And that's part of what was revealed the other night. Second, we know that they printed at least 60,000 fake ballots just in California that the FBI found and didn't tell the president about. They have been sitting on that evidence all these years. So, and it's conveniently beyond the statute of limitations if you can't establish a grand conspiracy. So that's in progress. We have a serious foreign policy issue here. I don't think we're gonna bomb Beijing over ballots. That's not what's gonna happen. But we've got to deal with the Chinese. We're not gonna let that ride. And at the same time, we've got to secure our elections. We've got to deal with the vulnerabilities in the system, which primarily come down to voting machines, which are all hackable. There is not a voting machine that has ever been created that isn't hackable, and that has to be dealt with. So all of these things folded together, yes, 2020 is as live an issue as it's ever been. In fact, it's about the first time that we've had a shot at actually bringing some justice and bringing an end to this this just wickedness. If your ballot doesn't mean anything because it's just stolen from you at every turn, you don't live in a free country. Right. You don't live in a republic. You are ruled, and that must be stopped.
Okay, so Rod, TDS is a real thing, Trump derangement syndrome. They just hate the guy. I mean, they'd rather see the world blow up. There was an actual study done or a survey done in New Hampshire. You probably ran across this, I think in 2018, 2019, where the majority of Democrats said we'd rather the Earth get hit by a meteorite and disintegrate than for Trump to win in 2020. Well, you better believe people that think like that would, I mean, cheating on an election would be like going 5 miles over the speed limit. I mean, that's nothing if you're willing to sacrifice every single life for the guy not to get reelected. Okay, so the next election, not the midterms, but the next presidential election, Trump's not on the ballot. Do they hate Marco Rubio like they hate Trump? Do they hate J.D. Vance like they hate Trump or some other guy like they hate Trump? Is it just because you're conservative or is it just tied into Trump's personality?
Well, I think the answer to that several questions is yes. I think we've seen this play. First of all, they do have a unique hatred for Donald Trump. There's no question about that. And that has been jazzed up now for a decade. But it's interesting to note that until Donald Trump actually announced for president, and even for a month or two into his campaign, they didn't hate him. Nobody hated Donald Trump. Donald Trump was this fun celebrity who made multi-billion dollar deals and had fun TV shows and ran the Miss Universe pageant, and you know, and everybody loved him. And you know, now he's the biggest racist in the world. Jesse Jackson gave him a civil rights award, for heaven's sake. You know, everybody loved Donald Trump as long as he was writing checks to Democrats, which, you know, people rightly caught on to when he started running in 2015. And they're like, are we even sure he's a Republican? Well, that was a fair question under the circumstances. But he explained it himself in a Republican primary debate when he said, look, I'm a business guy in New York. If you don't grease the wheels, they just won't permit any of your projects. I mean, it's just pay to play, and I paid. Okay, that's a corrupt system. That's got to be cleaned up too. But yes, Trump gets unique hate, but I assure you they will turn that on the next guy. And we saw that with Bush. You know, Bush wasn't half the conservative that Donald Trump has turned out to be, and yet he was literally Hitler too. He was all these terrible things too. So, you know, they will shift hard. It will take a while to condition the rank and file to be as vehement in their hate for the next guy, whoever that may be, but they'll get there. They will always get there. The left, the Democrats have perfected Orwell's 3-minute hate, and they will get there. So our next task, of course, is to break through it. We just spent two generations marinating our students in critical theory and extracting any concept of critical thinking from our public schools. That's having an effect on both right and left. That doesn't have to be permanent. That's not something we can't overcome, but it does mean that pastors are more important than ever from the perspective of just saving the republic. We want the Lord to save their souls, but we'd also like to have a decent place to live in until the Lord returns, and we don't know when that's going to be. So pastors right now are, as always, but even more right now, the most important people in the world.
That's a good word. Encouraging and convicting, because we as pastors need to stand up and speak up. And I would encourage pastors. Eric Metaxas wrote a brand new book on the revolution. you know, the history of America. Bill Federer has written some great things about our country. Silence Equals Consent is a great book for pastors to read and to know that, hey, God has put you in this position for such a time as this to stand up and speak up. Because we want to be able to pass the baton of freedom to our children and grandchildren. And if we don't do it and stand up for the country and stand up for truth, it's not going to happen. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about what's going on in the world. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Rod Martin, founder and CEO of Martin Capital, philosopher capitalist, Christian, and an anti-communist. Okay, so anti-communist, Rod, if I look at the Democrat Party, I would say that they are in the process of selling their soul to socialism and the combination of Islamism. How do you see that?
They are mostly there. It is really staggering to watch just how much so. We had the Democratic Socialists of America convention here a couple weeks ago. One of the main leaders of the organization stands up in front of the crowd and says, and this is a direct quote, "Our goal is communism." Mm. And the crowd cheered. The crowd absolutely cheered it. DSA matters. These guys are winning Democratic primaries all across the country. They are electing their people into leadership of the Democratic Party and into leadership in Congress. That is a terrible thing because we know what communism is. We don't have to look further than Cuba and North Korea and China and the Soviet Empire. And these guys are just saying flat out, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it bigger and better. Okay, well, that's actually an existential threat. And the most basic level on which that's true isn't even, you know, all of the tyranny and totalitarianism and terror that entails. The biggest problem there is communism purporting to be atheistic is functionally a religion. And its religion deifies the state and gets to define your reality. You were programmed for this by the transgender movement, the idea that somebody can actually change from a boy to a girl. Are you kidding? That's nonsense. That's not biology. The people who are telling us trust the science, throw the science book out the window. But that's exactly what C.S. Lewis showed us in That Hideous Strength, and exactly what Orwell showed us a few years later in 1984, where O'Brien tells Winston toward the end of the book, 2 + 2 equals whatever the party tells you. And that's what we saw during COVID. That's what we saw with the Russia hoax. That's what we saw increasingly with regard to all of the things under consideration, including the Chinese election interference, all of this, but above all with transgenderism, we have conditioned the young to think in terms of narratives, not facts, and to take their narratives from communists, who, by the way, are perfectly happy to ally with the Islamists. That's fine by them because they know we're going to come back later once we've beaten America and we're going to kill the Islamists. And the Islamists are thinking the same thing about the communists. Sure. You know, we'll kill each other then. But for now, we've got to kill America. And by kill America, I don't mean everybody in America dies. I mean our system, our freedoms, our Constitution, which they've declared racist. I'm not sure how free speech is racist, but okay. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things they want to tear down because America is the bulwark of freedom in the world. American Christians give 6 times as much money for international missions as all other Christians in the world put together. We're only 4% of global population, but we're giving 6 times what the entire rest of the global church is giving to reach the lost around the world. And they want to kill that, full stop. So that's the battle we're fighting.
Mm. All right, let's shift to Iran. I don't know if you remember this, Rod. You're on the program early on in the conflict with Iran, and I had mentioned the word, not that I believe this, but that was thrown out there, you know, Iran can become a quagmire because it's hard. I mean, it's virtually impossible to deal with those people because they're liars, because they don't care about who dies, themselves, other people, their citizens, and they don't care. They, as Hamas says, we love death as much as you love life. And Hamas and the Iranian Ayatollahs, I mean, there's the same person. So how do you defeat them without going in there or without nuking them? I mean, it seems like you're just going to keep... They're the guy on Monty Python that lost his arms and his legs and still says, I want to fight. They might not have much left, but they can still cause problems. So what do you see there?
Well, causing problems is very, very far removed from building 20,000 ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons to put on top of them, which is where we were. They were on track for the largest missile force on the planet, which is just absurd. We saw that they actually had much greater range than we were told. When they launched a couple of missiles at Diego Garcia, which most people couldn't find on a map, but that's okay. It's our main base in the Indian Ocean, and it's a long way from Iran. But we operate B-2 stealth bombers and other things out of there, and it's closer than Barksdale in Louisiana. So it matters to us. Anyway, they fire missiles at Diego Garcia. Well, if you can do that, then you also have the range to hit London and Paris and Berlin. So they were a much bigger missile threat than I think most people realized. And when you can build an IRBM, you're about a half step away from building an intercontinental ballistic missile that can hit the United States. So we get to have buildings blowing up over here, and we've got the same problem over there. You've still got to deal with them, and they're not going to be any less tough. So Trump was exactly right to attack them before that threat fully metastasized. They bragged in our discussions in Oman back in February about how we've still got enough enriched uranium to build 11 nuclear weapons in 2 weeks flat, and there's nothing you can do about it. So Trump did something about it. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we have complete air dominance. They can't actually stop us from doing anything. And you use the word quagmire, and I hear a lot of conservatives do that, but I would ask, first of all, this has only been going on since February 28th. This isn't some kind of forever thing. Second, it wouldn't be if it went on another 6 months. But more to the point, you can't really have a quagmire if there are no troops on the ground at all. And we have not actually invaded, not even any of the outlying islands, which I kind of hope he'll do. I think there are four or five key islands that the United States would do well to control, and then garrison with troops from the UAE or Saudi Arabia or Iraq, you know, not our own. But the point remains, we have eliminated them as a danger to the rest of the world. The only danger that they pose at this point is the ability to lob a random missile that they still have at somebody, and that's a diminishing resource because we've taken out most of their ability to produce more. They can fire something at a tanker in the strait. Well, one of the biggest things to come of this war is that we didn't even have to do most of the convincing. The Iranians did most of the convincing for most of the Gulf Arab states to bypass the Strait of Hormuz. So we are seeing dramatic increases in the amount of oil being shipped by pipeline from the Persian Gulf down to the Red Sea across the Saudi Arabian east-west pipeline. We're seeing a doubling of capacity from the UAE to Fujairah on the Arabian Sea in Oman. We're seeing now Chevron and several other American companies are going to help the Iraqis and Syrians rebuild the pipelines from northern Iraq to the Mediterranean through Syria. Also a pipeline, there's another pipeline out of Iraq that is about to be reconstructed. These things have been shut down since the 90s. And we're going to be able to bypass the Strait of Hormuz with over 75% of all the oil that passed through it in another year to 18 months. So no future Iranian regime. I think this one does fall. We saw this weekend someone in the Iranian government leaked a poll that the Iranian government did of its own people that found only 9% support for the regime, right, and 68% active anger at the regime. They're in trouble. This revolution, I think, is going to happen, and I think Donald Trump is facilitating the ability of it to happen. But even if they stay in power, even if somebody worse succeeds them, Iran is never going to have a nuclear weapon, but it's also never going to be able to threaten global oil trade again, ever, once this is done. And that's an extraordinary development. That is solving a problem that's existed for nearly half a century.
Rod, how long do you think this will last? Because I know, and I've heard this mentioned by the Iranians, or somebody was talking for them, said, you know, they're trying to drag this out to the midterms. Oh, yeah. Because they know that this will hurt Trump. If the midterms don't go Trump's way, that affects things drastically, does it not?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, no. We get the defense authorization done this year, so he'll have plenty of money to do what he needs to do, and there's not going to be a thing Congress can do about it, because last I checked, the laws they pass also have to be signed by the president, who isn't going to sign them. And not only that, but if they did somehow capture Congress, they would have razor-thin majorities, as we do now. And they're not going to be able to move serious legislation. This isn't 2010 when the Democrats briefly had 60 U.S. senators. They'll be lucky to have 51, and I don't think they get there. I actually think our numbers are looking good in the Senate races. I think redistricting went incredibly well for us, and I think our chances in the House are probably pretty decent to expand our majority a little bit. And so I don't think that's going to be a factor. The bigger point is I don't think Donald Trump cares. I think Donald Trump decided this is a legacy project. This is one of the things that my presidency has to achieve. We are going to eliminate a threat to the world by people who, from an eschatological perspective, believe not only do they want to bring back their equivalent of the Messiah, the 12th Imam, you know, the Mahdi, but in 12er Islam, that requires that the human followers of Allah burn down the world,
right,
and nuclear weapons are how you do that, burn down the world to cause the appearance of the Mahdi. Okay, these are not like normal people. That's not what you're dealing with in Beijing or Moscow or Washington or any other place you can name. These people are scary because they see their own destruction as leading to paradise. Yeah. So that has to be dealt with. And by the way, 12er Islam is not a majority position in Islam. It's not a majority position in Iran. It is the position of this regime, and actually only a part of it. And those people are, in many cases, dead now, and in other cases, not going to live much longer. So anyway, one other thing on that. The target packages, since we resumed hostilities 10 days ago, look very different. We're beginning to take out things that would make it possible for Iran to conduct combat operations on the ground. I don't know what that means. I do suspect that there is some truth to the talk of forces coming in, possibly from Iraq and Pakistan and some of the other Gulf states. I don't think you're going to see a U.S. invasion, but it's just interesting to watch what we're hitting. And it's materially different than it was in March.
What's the status in Israel right now, Rod, with Gaza and things coming from the north? They're continuing to bomb them?
Well, this is a significant achievement. It really is. You know, Hamas is now actually dismantling its own government in Gaza and handing over power to a board that is somewhat related to Trump's Board of Peace. So are they going to cease to exist? Are they all going to give up their guns? No, it's not that simple, but we haven't had a war there now in close to a year, and these guys are actually handing over power. Well, at some point, that's meaningful, and I think we're seeing that. In Syria, you know, I don't love the guy who's running Syria now, but he is a 1,000% improvement on Bashar Assad and anybody else who was going to win that civil war. And he's playing ball with Trump. He was just in the Oval Office, and we're doing deals with these guys to relieve pressure on the Strait. Lebanon, you mentioned, Hezbollah has been a proxy army for the Iranian government since I was a young teenager, and the Lebanese government has been at war with the State of Israel since 1948. They declared war on Israel in 48 and never stopped. So, okay, the Lebanese government, just for the first time in history, recognized the territorial integrity and sovereignty of the State of Israel and committed on paper to dismantling Hamas. Then we've got the new Iraqi government that's shutting down the pro-Iranian militias in Iraq. The world is turned upside down. This is a stunning conclusion to what has so far been a very short conflict, and Iran's in a box for the first time in 25 years.
We're talking to Rod Martin, and we are up against a break here on Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve on American Family Radio. When we come back, we'll take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give us a call, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Rod Martin, founder and CEO of Martin Capital. And Rod has great insights on what is going on in America, what is going on in the world, and what is going on in the church. And so, Rod, I want to ask you, the ruling just came out in Houston, where a group at Second Baptist Church, a huge church there in the Houston area, some of the members had sued the church, saying that they've basically stolen the church. We voted away our rights to have a say anymore in the church. Well, the judge threw out their claim, and basically Second Baptist, the church, won against those those people. But as I was talking to you off air, it seems to me that Second Baptist, if they win, they lose. If they lose, they lose. I mean, this is not a win for the church in that their name has really been sullied as a result of this. How do you see it moving forward for Ben Young and the church?
Well, it is a win on a certain level, of course, and that level is actually has very little to do with Second Baptist. It has to do with the religious liberty on which this case was decided, of churches to govern themselves without the state meddling in their internal affairs. That's essential for you to be able to do what you do every day. And so I'm glad we upheld that. That's positive. And the court has been, the courts have been increasingly positive toward religious liberty issues of that sort in the United States over the last several years, and honestly, we owe a lot of that to Donald Trump, you know, appointing great judges. So that's a win. That's probably the only win here, because the truth is, this has just been a nightmare. It's torn that church apart. And you were saying off air that, you know, you thought they were likely to lose a lot of members. I expect that they will, and we've seen this play before. So there are reasons that 1 Corinthians 6, you know, tells us we shouldn't be suing other believers. It's always harmful. No good comes of it nearly all the time. And so, you know, I don't think, as our friend Paige Patterson has enunciated throughout his career, that 1 Corinthians 6 prohibits lawsuits by and among Christians, because I think what 1 Corinthians 6 does is it kicks you over into Matthew 18. And if you'll recall, at the end of the Matthew 18 process, if they're still unrepentant, you're to treat them as an unbeliever. Well, guess what? You get to sue an unbeliever. You can do that. So I don't think Scripture makes quite the case that our friend Paige has made, but I'm grateful that he has made it, because it's wise, even if it isn't always perfectly mandatory. And here, these people got suing each other. It's really gonna be harmful to the body of Christ and to that particular local church body, and it's just all such a shame.
It really is. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Greg on the line from California. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Great morning, Pastor Chief. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
How are you this morning?
Doing well. How are you, Greg?
I am thankful. Thank you. I'm thankful for the ministry, and I just wanted to share, you know, listening and watching the programs with DSA, and it's amazing because we just need to see it, have our eyes open, see it's not the DSA, Democrat Social, you know, Association, or it just looks like Islam. I mean, so, you know, should we call it out, you know, Democratic Islam of America, you know? So I just wanted to share that. That was on my heart. You know, I've been sharing with my kids, you know, just to keep your eyes open to see how they're just coming right after us and just so blatantly.
Yeah, great point, Greg. Yeah, Rod, they're not hiding it at all.
No, they aren't. And look, this is a really good time to remind everybody, do not weary in well-doing. We are in the pitched battle right now. And I hear a lot of people on our side blackpilling and, oh, nothing's ever going to happen and no one's ever going to go to jail and everything's terrible. Wait, the Lord delivered us in 2024. If Harris had won, the censorship state would have continued and grown. We see what socialists in both democratic and non-democratic countries do. They shut down all dissent. They arrest pastors. And actually in Great Britain, which is the mother of our liberty, in Great Britain, they're now arresting 10 times as many people for so-called speech violations as Vladimir Putin is in Russia. I mean, how can that happen? In Canada, they just removed all protections for preaching any part of the Bible that the government decides is hate speech. Well, that's a lot of the Bible, actually, you know, because the left's worldview is no longer compatible at all with the Christian worldview. So the left wins by talking you into believing that everything you think is not just wrong, but evil, and certainly stupid, but evil. And once they convince enough people of that, they can enforce it, and they do. So we really dodged a bullet in 24, and we've got to stay in the battle. I mean, we're in the middle of the Battle of Midway. The war has barely begun, and we're in the fight, and we can win it. We can get to Okinawa. We can get to Hiroshima. We can get to Tokyo Bay. But we actually have to fight the fight, and we have to keep our chin up and trust the Lord for the outcome, or we're just going to lose, and our grandchildren are going to live in a totalitarian state.
Yeah.
So will we, but they will too.
Yeah, good point. Well, I appreciate that. excuse me. We have Nelson on the line from Texas. Nelson, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Shreves. I want to ask Mr. Martin, what are we going to do, or what is the left going to do when the Democratic Socialists want to destroy the left and kill the left? These people who are saying what they want to do or accomplish. I'm a Constitution coach with Patriot Academy, and I want to know, what can I do to help these people understand? I've spoken to plenty of people from Cuba, Venezuela, China, Russia, who fled to come over here, and they're terrified of what's going on in our country.
And they should be. That was one of the points we were making a number of years ago. If you listened to Obama's speeches, if you listened to AOC's speeches, in many cases, they are verbatim the speeches being made by Hugo Chavez or Nicolas Maduro or Fidel Castro or Danny Ortega in Nicaragua. They were absolutely identical verbiage, just translated from Spanish to English. And our Cuban community here in Florida picks up on it, you know, just lickety-split. They're like, whoa, we've heard this before. Why are Americans actually falling for this? So, yeah, we've got a problem. The mainstream Democrats, the guy, you know, and I don't agree with Bill Maher. I don't agree with James Carville, but they're not communists. They're not democratic socialists, and they're certainly not Islamists. So these guys, you're seeing shift in our direction, at least it seems that way. Mm-hmm. They're not really shifting. They're losing their party. And so they will make short-term alliances with us that wouldn't last, I'm sure, if we do that, to try to overcome the encroaching socialist darkness. And that's encouraging. And we've picked up people like RFK and Tulsi Gabbard and Elon Musk. That's great. But the Christians have to stand firm. We have to actually teach kids that envy is not actually a legitimate political and economic program, that violating all of the commandments systematically is actually a really bad idea, and that's what socialism is. It is the systematic violation of all of God's commandments while pretending superiority and goodness. And it's just a devil's lie, and we have to stop it.
So true. Well, what I see, Rod, is that you have guys like Gavin Newsom. Gavin just makes it up. I mean, it doesn't have to have any kind of truth backing it. I just make it up, and the media is going to back me up on this. And it seems like that's just more and more and more, with CNN not even showing President Trump's speech. Well, he lies, so we're not even going to show this. I mean, it's I think Life Hack, that's about 99% accurate. Whatever those people say, it's the opposite of that. They are guilty.
Yeah, whatever they say is what they're doing. Yes.
Right. Yeah, so whatever they say Trump is doing, that's what they're doing. And you can pretty much set your watch by that.
You can. And look, this is why the church is so important from a temporal cultural perspective. Of course, the church is important to be the church. Of course, the church is important to, you know, to reach the lost. All of those things are, of course, primary. But there's also a salt and light mission that only the church can do. And people have lost track of what that means because, you know, these days we have refrigerators and stuff. We don't do that. But salt is what, for thousands of years, people used to preserve meat because otherwise it would spoil and go bad. And salt would preserve it and you could actually keep it around longer. And of course, light dispels darkness. If the church won't do that in the world, who's going to? We are the salt and light.
Right.
So if we don't explain to people the evils of what is fundamentally a false religion and a false God, if we can't do that just because, oh, it's political. Everything's political to these people. To the left, everything is a political matter. That's their worldview. So, you know, if you try to make distinctions that might or might not have made sense in 1980 about what's political and what's spiritual, you're going to lose because to the left, their religion is politics. And the end game is, you know, no different from the Iranians. They want to set up their Messiah, in this case, a messianic state that is going to perfect mankind and direct the next stage of his evolution. And it's going to have to break some eggs to make that omelet. So, you know, that's evil. That we are fighting the functional equivalent of Baal worship here.
Right.
And we've got to get in the game and actually realize that it's being played with or without us.
Yeah, great point. Thank you, Nelson. We have Tim on the line from North Carolina. Tim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Shreve. I just get right to the point because of time. But, Ms. Martin, I just got the question here because I have one Gen Zer and millennial in my household. Not in the household now, but they're married. But they're very intelligent, and they have some issues with things that are going on. My question is, it seems to me that socialism and communism is really what I call it. The attraction is with young people is what I'm seeing. That's what I always see on TV and what I hear and what I read. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. So do we have any kind of record of voting that's where it's coming from? And do we have anything to counteract it? I mean, I know mine would not vote for socialism because they're grounded. But I do have some concerns that are those out here who are not believers, and they will not, they might kind of venture over that way. I'm a little concerned about these primaries, you know, coming up, in November. And mine just do have problems with supporting some of the things that are going on and with AIPAC and things with Israel. They just do because they see things really in a different light than I do. So I guess are any voter records?
Well, take the AIPAC thing. I mean, okay, so, you know, people who like Israel, who, by the way, are American citizens, spend money to support their cause. How is that different from the Sierra Club? How is that different from any political group? And meanwhile, the Chinese Communist Party is spending 10 to 15 times more to get everybody to like Chinese communism. So you've got Tucker Carlson and some of these guys focusing fire on a particular cause they dislike and ignoring the reality of money in politics. So you know, coming back to, you know, are the young socialists? Yes. Are the young prone to supporting the terrorist groups, Hamas and Hezbollah? Yes. But I don't want to get too discouraged about that. That's a debate we can win because the first and foremost problem of young people is they don't have a lot of life experience. When they get some life experience, they figure out a lot of these things are frankly dumb. And we saw that with the baby boomers, who are now the most conservative of the generations. And we all know how they were in the 60s. They were crazy Woodstock hippies. So there is a life process that works if we can hold the socialists out of power long enough for that process to work, because if the socialists censor us, we can't have those debates. So we've got to win those battles in the short term. The other thing is, we just got to talk to the young people in our lives and help them see truth. And if they're grounded sufficiently in Scripture, a lot of this stuff just goes away.
Yeah, very good. Rod Martin, thank you for being my guest today. I appreciate you, my friend. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.